Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and the senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And we have started on a Bible study of forgiveness. What it is, what it isn't, and how to do it. And we were talking this last time about the fact that forgiveness is not a one-time experience. Peter said, Lord, is it, how about seven times? Do I get an A-plus if I forgive somebody seven times? You remember Jesus said in Matthew 18, 21, 22, no, Peter. It's an ongoing experience, 70 times seven. And that means that every morning when you wake up, and it immediately comes to your mind, the only way you're going to get through the day with any type of victory in your heart and life is to immediately go to the Lord in prayer and spend time with God in prayer, reminding yourself of who God is, that God is the sovereign God, that God is the one who is working in your life, that God has a plan for your life. God wants you to become more like Jesus Christ. And after a series of reminders like this, you begin to understand that God wants me to forgive him. God wants me to forgive her today. It's an ongoing process. Secondly, it's a decision as opposed to a feeling. So many times we say, well, I'll forgive that person when I feel like it. I hate to tell you this, but you're never going to feel like it because it's not something that any of us feel like doing. But it is a chosen suffering. 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Reminds you of John 3:16, doesn't it? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, it's a decision, not a feeling. It's a chosen suffering. You choose the pain, and you allow the offender to go free. Thirdly, it's pardoning a person as opposed to condoning an act. We were talking this last time about feeling like I can't forgive that person because they'll think it's all right. God wants us to pardon them. God wants us to let them go free, for us to stop trying to get vengeance and get even, because nobody ever gets ahead by trying to get even. It's pardoning a person as opposed to condoning whatever the action was. And then number four, it's choosing not to remember as opposed to forgetting. See, God chooses not to remember our sins, but he doesn't forget our sins. The Bible says he remembers our sins no more because he's an omniscient God. He can't forget anything. And many times we feel like, well, I can never forget that. Well, you can if you stop remembering it every day. It's kind of like the trigonometry that I took in my senior year of high school, 63 and 64. Well, it's been a long time since 1964. And I can't remember anything, although I got straight A's in the class. I can't remember anything about trigonometry because I haven't used it. I haven't been reminded of those principles and those lessons since 1964. The same thing is true concerning any offense that comes your way. It is choosing not to remember it. It is surrendering the right to retaliate. That's probably the hardest part. It's giving to God your right to retaliate. Dr. J. Adams defines forgiveness as the promise not to raise the issue again to the offender, to others, or to yourself. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is the promise not to raise the issue again to the offender, to others, or to yourself. And so if you've been involved in an issue with maybe with your husband or your wife or one of your children or maybe someone at church or someone with whom you work, and forgiveness was sought and then you granted it, all right? At that point, biblical forgiveness is refusing to raise that issue ever again. It's not putting it in the closet and bringing it back out when you get into your next fuss. It's refusing to ever remember it and bring it up again. In fact, someone defined forgiveness as, quote, clearing the record of those who have wronged me and allowing God to love them through me. It's accepting the ongoing consequences of an offender's actions and seeing how God is using them to benefit my life. Well, now, there's a different perspective. Accepting the ongoing consequences of the offender's actions, because obviously whatever they said and did about you didn't just hurt you that day, but it has ongoing consequences. But it is accepting those ongoing consequences and seeing how God is using them to benefit your life today. How has it caused you to draw closer to the Lord? How has it caused you to pray more? How has it caused you to surrender your control of certain things more? How has it caused you to become more like Jesus Christ? That's forgiveness. Now, where does my forgiving another person begin? Well, the answer is in Christ. You remember our verse in Colossians 3:13? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing one another. That's present offenses. Forgiving one another. That's past offenses. The word forbearing means holding yourself back from someone, restraining yourself. And there are times that that's what you have to do when you become angry. And the Bible specifically commands you to do that. Now, how do I learn to forgive? Well, it only comes by seeing how Christ was able to forgive. And so I want to share a few principles concerning how Jesus Christ forgave. First of all, he forgave by suffering for the sins of others. He forgave by suffering for the sins of others. Matthew 27, verses 26 to 31 tell us about his crucifixion and the suffering that he went through. And obviously Jesus was suffering not for his own sins, but for ours. And forgiveness, if I am to forgive others exactly the same way Jesus forgives us, then that means I have to suffer because of the sins of others and let them go free. Forgiveness is deciding not to hurt others for hurting you. Forgiveness is deciding not to hurt others for hurting you. See, if Christ suffered for our sinfulness, why do we refuse to suffer because of the sinfulness of others? See, we like the fact that Jesus suffered for our sins. We don't like the fact that we have to suffer for the sins of others. But the first thing that I'm learning about forgiveness is if I'm ever going to be able to forgive someone, then I have to accept the suffering as a part of God's plan for my life. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and they were having a lot of problems amongst each other. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, "Why do you not suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Why do you not rather take the wrong?" In other words, instead of taking each other to court, he said, why don't you allow yourself to be defrauded? In other words, you take the pain for the cause of Christ and for the testimony of Christ in front of the watching world. And so we see then that Jesus forgave others by suffering for their sins. So that simply means others have sinned against you. Are you willing to take the suffering for their sins? Are you willing to accept it? You see, as long as you hold it within you, as long as you decide, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take the suffering. They are going to pay. As soon as you bury a hurt, it becomes a root of bitterness. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that when a root of bitterness springs up, it troubles you and defiles many. It doesn't say that it troubles the person against whom you have the bitterness. It says it troubles you. It's kind of like somebody said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. The other person isn't going to die. You're the one that drank the poison. And bitterness is a poison. Somebody put it this way. Bitterness will destroy the vessel in which it's stored more than the vessel on which it's poured. And you may be trying to pour your bitterness on this other person or other people, but bitterness is destroying you more than you are destroying them. And so Jesus said, I want you to forgive. Well, Lord, how do I forgive that? He said, I want you to accept the suffering, like I did on the cross. And the second thing he said was, I want you to forgive them by praying for them. See, because he forgave his enemies by praying for them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was on the cross. Now, boy, it sure looked like they knew what they were doing. They were crucifying him. But Jesus looked beyond what they were doing, and he said, Father, forgive them. He began to pray for them. You know, the amazing thing is the fact that God says that the goodness of the Lord brings people to repentance. The goodness of the Lord brings people to repentance. I was thinking about that yesterday. And it could be that it's the goodness of the Lord through me that will bring people to repentance. And God gives me that opportunity to show goodness and kindness and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and forgiveness to the people that have hurt me the most. My first response is, Lord, okay, I'm going to turn them over to you, but God, I'm leaving you the freedom to get them. And so our prayers for them are, Lord, help them to fall off the edge of the earth. Or, Lord, do something just really strong and help them to know, God, how wicked their sin has been. But it's only when we stop praying judgment prayers and we start praying, Lord, mercy prayers, grace prayers, and Lord, work in their lives and bless them. If they're not blessable, Lord, bring them to the point that they're blessable. But God, help my response to them to cause them to see Christ. That's exactly what Matthew 5 is all about, where he says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And the word bless there means to cause them to prosper. That is the furthest thing from your mind, isn't it? You don't want to do anything to cause them to prosper. It seems like they're prospering anyway, after they've hurt you so badly. And God is simply trying to say, I'm working in you much more than I'm working on them. And when I'm able to accomplish my plan in you, then I can accomplish my plan in them. You see, if God is not doing something for you, an answer to your prayer, if he's not doing something for you, then he's doing something in you that he might do something great through you. And it's only as you allow him to do something in you and bring you to the point of forgiveness and praying grace and mercy for them, that God is then able to do something great through you, and they can see Christ in you. Well, we've run out of time again, my friend, and so the next time we will pick up with the third aspect of how we forgive another. Until then, God bless you.